Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen. Good evening, my brothers and sisters. Welcome to Valerie Welch Ministries. I'm delighted that you are here tonight, this evening, this Thursday evening at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You could be anywhere else in the world, but you've decided to stop by Blog Talk Radio and to listen to Valerie Welch Ministries tonight, where the word comes straight from the throne. God, we just thank you tonight. We thank you tonight for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father God, for your people, Father God, that are listening at the sound of my voice, or those that will download this message throughout the upcoming week. Lord, we just bless your name tonight. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are the teacher of all teachers. You are the instructor of all instructors. We ask you to lead us and to guide us into all truth as always. You always tell me to say, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. And we're talking about the Holy Spirit, not any spirit, but the Holy Spirit. Tonight, I thank you, Father God, for penetrating the hearts of men, not their mind, Father God, but their heart, Father God, that they will receive this word, Lord God. Father God, that it will find rich soil, Father God, to nourish them, Father God, to cause them to sprout up and grow, Father God, maybe where they've been stagnant, Father God, where they have been unloved, unnurtured, Father God, untaught, Father God, or uncaring, Father God, whatever it is, Father God, we thank you. Tonight, they're listening to the word of God. And Holy Spirit, have your way. Have your way tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And we bless God. My brothers and sisters, tonight, you may hear this as a familiar theme that's going throughout the nation or going throughout the churches or going throughout conferences that you've been listening to, that there's a common theme that's going throughout the land concerning the church, the physical body of the church. So God, tonight, though this is probably a message that you've heard before or something very similar, but God is still in that same vein. So the message tonight is entitled, "You're in the church, but is God really leading you?" I'll say that again. You're in the church, but is God really leading you? Our primary scripture tonight is coming from Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. And it reads as thus: "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." I'll read that again. "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." My brothers and sisters, we saw something similar to this in Genesis. Remember when God told Adam and Eve not to eat of the forbidden fruit of the tree, lest ye shall surely die? Remember that? And remember from the external, from the outside, the serpent came, the great deceiver, and whispered into her spirit man, even though he was telling a half-truth, telling the whole truth, when he told her that you're not going to really die. You know, you're not going to really die. And when they ate of the fruit, and they didn't really die, but it caused a spiritual separation from God. That's what happens. So, well, Proverbs 14:12 is along those same lines. But there is a major difference between the two scriptures. There are many differences, but there's one major difference that the Holy Spirit allowed me to zone in on. Eve was beguiled by something outside of her. The serpent, the great deceiver, whispering the half-truth to the first woman that God created. However, go with me to Jeremiah 2:13. Jeremiah 2:13. Glory to God. And it reads as thus: "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, fountain of living waters, and hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." I'll say that again. "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns at that, that can hold no water." Now, these scriptures that I'm reading tonight, they all are linear. They're going hand in hand. Even though this particular scripture is talking about the cisterns and how we forsake, you know, have forsaken God, this same vein is going to be throughout this message tonight. So we're not going to physically talk about cisterns, which is where I thought initially the Holy Spirit wanted to go. But that's not where he took me. But I will elaborate just a moment on this particular scripture. And basically, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. So we all know that trying to live a life apart and outside of God, ultimately, as the previous scripture says, will result in death. Additionally, it will result in a separation from God. And what we're doing is we're trying to hewn out this life. We're trying to hewn out this system according to our own ideologies, our own humanistic philosophies, our own finite intelligence, our own emotions. We're trying to traverse this world. We're trying to carve out this segment of life apart from God. And God is saying it's a broken cistern that can hold no water, which means it doesn't matter what we do, how we do it, how much we have, how much we don't have, who helps us, who doesn't help us, how much money we have, how much money we don't have, who blessed us, who didn't bless us, whatever it is, God's saying, I don't really care how you did it, but the end result is it's broken. I don't really care what you did, but at the end result, it's broken and can hold no water, which means that it can't stay nourished. It can't stay alive. You cannot stay fulfilled. Because what you're attempting to do outside of God, forsaking our Father, will ultimately fail. Ultimately fail, my brothers and sisters. So what God is saying tonight, God is saying tonight, as we go back to the message that we were talking about, is Jeremiah 2:13 is talking about the decisions of man, the reasoning of man. We think we know what's best for us. We don't need to consult with the Creator. His job is done. I heard a man say in church the other day, and I'm going to regurgitate it because I thought it was an excellent point that he made, that, you know, we give God leeway in the first 9 months. We have no other choice. We have no other choice, but in those first 9 months, we let God take over. We have no choice regarding our eyes. We have no choice regarding the size of our nose. We have no choice regarding the shape of our lips. We have no choice regarding the things that God makes us unique and individually, our fingerprints, our footprints, our color. We have no choice on those things. God does what he wants to do, even before the foundations of the earth. But in the womb, we are basically helpless. All the woman can do is eat and take care of her external self. All she can do is make sure that she externally eats healthy so that the baby is healthy. She tries to remain at a peaceful state so that the baby isn't a peaceful baby when it comes out. She can only do externally things. But on the womb, she can't create limbs. In the womb, she can't create eyes. In the womb, she can't create noses. So we'll let God do what he does and what he does best in the first 9 months. But after the birth takes place, then we say, okay, God, your job is done. We'll take over from here. I thought that was a great analogy because I don't think many people think along those lines, that once the baby comes out, okay, now I need to take over as the parent, or I need to take over now that I'm 21 years old. You know, my mother and father, they're that same thing. We take over from God after giving birth to the child. The child that's born, once they reach age 21, said, okay, I'm grown enough. I'll take over from here. I don't need my parents anymore. I'm grown. And so as we continue to go through life, that same cycle begins to manifest itself in various ways. But my brothers and sisters, how foolish is it to traverse this world and live a life based on our own reasoning, our own feelings, our own preset agendas? How crazy is that? Let me just break it down a little bit further for you. Let's take it to the natural for a moment. For example, let's say God has blessed you and you're very wealthy. Money is not an issue for you, but you're always on high alert for someone with ulterior motive, an agenda, if you will, to deceive us of our treasures. You worked hard for that money or whatever it is, whether you were blessed, with it. However you came about that money, now you are on high alert because now you say people will come. As a matter of fact, when people talk about the lottery, they say people will come all out of the woodwork. Family members you haven't heard from, friends you haven't heard from probably in 20, 25 years, they're coming to take some of that money. They're coming to partake of that which has been given unto you. What is their motive? Why are they here? This is the first thing we think about. But we don't understand, my brothers and sisters, that even in the body of Christ, we are operating in the same way. And I know you probably never thought about it like this because I haven't. The Holy Ghost gave me a download. It's funny how we never thought that we are attempting to deceive the Father, how we have our own agenda, how it's funny how we don't realize how churchgoers, come on somebody, and I'll call them religious people, are doing God the same way. God has, remember now, you're the wealthy one, okay? Now put God in it. God is the wealthy one. He has all the blessings. He has all the riches. He has the houses and the land. He has the healing. He has the deliverance. He has all these things that we need. And the religious people come with their agendas. Well, you say, now, Minister Valerie, how is that an agenda? God said in his word that that's what he would do for us. He would heal us and he would bless us. Uh-huh. Well, yeah, just keep listening. But we're wanting God to bless us, wanting God to bless them, but have no intention of living the life of obedience to obtain that reward. Have no intention of sacrificing and setting themselves apart to be meat for the master's use. That means someone of substance that God can use and wants to use. After all, did he not say, come, go with me to Isaiah. Isaiah 1st chapter, verses 19 and 20. Glory to God. Let me get there. Isaiah 1st chapter, verses 19 through 20. Did he not say that if ye be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land? If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So we don't like these scriptures. We don't like that last part. We don't like that last part, the verse 20. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured. No, we like, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Yes, we like that verse, but we don't like the part where it says willing and obedient. Willing and obedient. So now I hear the church person say, well, I am willing. And, you know, I do have my issues and I do sin sometimes. But, you know, but God knows my heart. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's the biggest lie and modern-day church excuse there ever was. And let me let you in on one of the biggest-kept secrets by Satan, the great deceiver. Let me help enlighten you, my brother and sister, tonight. If God knows your heart, he already knows that you planned this sin, but we're going to act like you had no clue. It's just like when you see on television and you see a man or a woman and they got caught in doing something that they shouldn't do. Well, you know, we were just drinking and, you know, well, we were doing drugs or whatever. And the next thing you know, it just happened. No, it wasn't. It didn't just happen. Because guess what? You went over there. He went over there. She went over there. It didn't just happen. You know what was going to be going down. You know what was going to go down. The same thing that God is saying to us in the body of Christ, please stop. Please stop. Because you're not fooling anyone, especially not me. The Holy Spirit is saying. So if you have been using that excuse, well, you know, I have my issues, but God knows my heart, God never gave an excuse for that. God said, if you're willing, yes, you're willing, but you must also be obedient. Ye which are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. I'm just so sorry. God doesn't allow us to have that excuse. You've been trying to deceive your heart by placating yourself. Placating yourself, saying, well, let me just soothe this flesh because, you know I'm a mess, but I don't want anybody to know it. I know I got my issues, but I don't want anybody to know it. Let me dress it up. Let me wear my hat. Let me wear my suit. Let me wear my Gators. Let me wear my Stacy's. Let me wear my Michael Kors. Let me wear my Ralph Lauren. Let me wear all these sorts of people to cover up what God can already see, my brothers and sisters. What God can already see. So God says that's one of the biggest kept secrets by Satan and one of the biggest lies that modern day church is perpetuating. God knows my heart. I'm sorry. Come on, my brothers and sisters. You may be able to fool others, but you cannot fool God, and stop trying to fool yourself. Leaning to our own understanding will ultimately cause a separation from God. Like Adam and Eve, it is a type of death. Leaning to our own understanding can and will cause physical death. Flesh will take over. There was no remorse for sin. That means you're just running rampant doing what you want to do. Leaning to your own understanding will never lead us to our true purpose. Anything apart from God, our mind, I'm getting ahead of myself, but our mind, if it is not covered by God, if it is not saturated with the Holy Spirit by God, this mind and this physical body will take over and do damage. God in his sovereignty, when I was thinking about it, the only reason that God gave us this physical body is that it needed to house him. I know that I'm going away. But even in his sovereignty and his love for us, I know that I'm going away. But I wanted to leave something with them. They will have a piece of me with them wherever they go. So he allowed this body to be created. But my brothers and sisters, this body was created to house the temple of the Lord. It was not created to eat, drink, and be merry. It was not created to heap fleshly desires upon it. That is not, and I'm not saying, brothers and sisters, that it's you know, we don't need to have fun and, you know, life has to always be da 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 da. No, that's not what I'm saying. Please hear me in the context that I'm speaking. I'm saying anything outside of this body ultimately will cause it to die. Anything outside of God ultimately will cause this flesh to die. And if the reprobate mind comes and you just want to say, you know, forget God, forget his sacraments, forget his statutes, forget his commandments, forget his people, let me just do me. You hear that all the time. Let me just do me. My brothers and sisters, let me ask you something. When you look around, those that are just doing them, what do they look like? What do they look like? Those that are doing the drugs and the alcohol and the cigarettes and just living a life of lawlessness, perversion, all sorts of perverted spirits, what do they look like? Their countenance dark? Their skin looks ashen? They look dry. They look like sometimes wild men and women. Sometimes you can naturally and spiritually see hair standing up on the top of your head, eyes looking crazy, eyes wild. You can see the stuff in the spirit that something has taken over that person. Because you can tell when somebody is living a life apart from God. It is very evident. You will traverse this earth, as I mentioned before, like the walking dead. Physically alive, but spiritually dead. Your conscience is seared. All you want to do is what the flesh wants. But let me help you understand some things regarding the flesh. Without the Holy Spirit, the flesh left to its own devices. Let me read to you. Go with me to Psalms 51 and 5. Psalms 51 and 5. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus. And it reads as this: Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Now this is what David is saying, the man after God's own heart. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity. That means that this flesh was shaped in iniquity. Our flesh, before we became born again, before we became sons and daughters of the Most High God, this flesh, without him, was shaped in iniquity. All it knew how to do was sin without God. Flesh has an agenda apart from God. Its sole purpose, left to its own devices, is to kill and destroy this vessel. Satan does not want anything to house the Holy Spirit. It does not want us to be taught and instructed by God. Therefore, he will use this body of ours to essentially derail our destiny. He will use this physical thing that we have, that we walk around with every day, to essentially derail the destiny, the purpose, and the plan that God has for us. This is why Paul said, I beat myself, and I'm just paraphrasing. Basically, he was saying, I keep this body under subjection daily. We have to do this daily, my brothers and sisters, not just because we got saved and now, okay, we said the words, you know, Jesus, we accept you in our heart and we confess our sins and we believe that you were raised from the dead and da 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 da. We said all that, then we go around and still doing the same thing. No. No, my brothers and sisters. Satan does not want anything to house the Holy Spirit. So he's saying, I can't touch God. I can't touch the Holy Spirit on the inside of them. But I can cause them to be separate from him by enticing them with things for pleasure, things that will cause a separation between them and their father, things that will cause their body to prematurely erode, decay, and die. I'll entice them with the pleasures of this world. My brothers and sisters, do you not know that Satan blesses his own? Satan blesses his own. A body submitted to God, not submitted to God, does treacherous things. But the most dangerous one of them, the most dangerous one of them, is a will not submitted to God. God will not go against man's will. We must freely come to him. And as he freely gave his son for the redemption of our sins, he wants the same for us. But he will not force us to do it. A will not submitted to God is a very, very dangerous thing. It's not yielded to the Holy Spirit. It's capable of doing pretty much anything. No respect for the things of God, the sacrament of God, the word of God, the people of God. A will devoid of God is this new age humanistic philosophy. If it's to be, it's up to me. Yeah, that's what they say. If it's to be, it's up to me. Well, no, not outside of God. Well, you say, Minister Valerie, there are some blessed. There are some believers that are some non-believers that are blessed. So what are you saying? They're blessed too. Well, let me ask you, who's blessing them? As I just alluded to, who's blessing them? Do you not think that Satan blesses his own? Does not the drug dealer look like he's blessed with all the money he has? Does not the artist or entertainer look blessed, but they worship Satan? Actors and actresses and all sorts of so-called famous people who say there is no God, but they're making millions of dollars every time they do a movie, but they're an atheist or they're an agnostic? My brothers and sisters, yes, there are people that are walking around here that look blessed and you want to be just like them, but who's blessing them? Who's blessing them? We're all in the church. We're in the church, but who is really leading us? We're in the church, but who is really leading us? We are in the four walls. We are in the building. We have our favorite pew that we sit on every Sunday. We dare anybody else to try to sit there. We have our position in the church. We are the choir director. We're the worship leader. We're the head usher. We're all these things in the church. But is God really leading us? When did you ever see God, Jesus, jockeying for a position? When did you ever see that? Jesus was, and it was so. Jesus is, and it became. Jesus was just Jesus. When he showed up on the scene, things changed. Actually, things were rearranged when he showed up. Things began to happen. The atmosphere became eclectic. Something was happening when he came upon the scene. What's happening when you come upon the scene? What's happening, my brother? Is there any evidence that you go to church? Is there any evidence? Are you just in the building? There's a difference. Are you in the building or is the church in you? This is the question tonight. This is why the message is entitled, "You're in the church, but is God really you? Do you have an agenda?" You say, "I've tried everything else. Let me get in this church thing. Let me scheme over here. Let me try to deceive the people of God. Let me try to deceive the man and woman of God. I'm coming to get what's mine and later for the rest of you." You have your own agenda. You want the physical, the tangible things of God, but you don't want him. This is the bottom line. You want, okay, well, I'm under the shelter. I just want his protection. I just want his protection, but I don't really want him. Just let me have one leg in the world and one leg in the church. I'll be all right. I'll adhere to certain scriptures, but not all. You know, this is the rhetoric that we speak and say to ourselves. And God is not pleased. God is not pleased. Did he not say, "I'd rather you be hot or cold, but lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth"? You've got to make a choice. You're either going to submit to the will of God, or you're going to be left out in the cold. The will of God is the only way to have continued protection. The will of God, the safety of God, accompanies being in the will of God. The peace of God accompanies being in the will of God. Prosperity accompanies being in the will of God. Anything outside of the will of God will always be temporary. We're not saying that you'll never have successes, but they'll never last. We're not saying that you won't be blessed, but it won't last, because your mind is not saturated with the Holy Spirit. You have not yielded your vessel, your members, your heart, your mind, your will, your soul. You have not yielded unto God. You're just in the building. The Holy Spirit is saying, you should have called it that. You're in the church, but are you just in the building? Ask yourself that. Let's do spiritual inventory tonight. Take the next few weeks and do spiritual inventory. Check your motive for going to church. Check your motive for even being saved. What's your motive? If you really don't want to obey the will of God, the commandments of God, the statutes of God, what's your motive? What's your motive? Let's get it right, my brothers and sisters, because God is not pleased. We have not fooled him. We have not deceived him. Yes, God knows our heart. And let's get it together. God, we thank you for this word tonight. We thank you for your Holy Spirit for illuminating the scriptures and allowing me to teach this message. We thank you, Lord God, that somebody was blessed and somebody will be blessed down the road. And take self-inventory of what's your motive, or are you just in the building? God bless you until we see you on next week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.